Let us pray. Jehovah, my friend, you know the real deal. You know that within this body of mine, this frail, fragile, and feeble frame of mine dwells nothing good. For the good that I will, I do it not. But the evil that I try so hard not to do, that which at times I find myself doing. And so, Jehovah, my friend, I pray now that you come and take these sinful lips of mine and put them beneath the cross, so that whatsoever will be said this morning will come strictly from thee with thanksgiving. Let everybody say, amen. After the children's story, I took my seat and I looked around me and I felt like Jesus when the Bible said that they all forsook him and fled. It is an honor, it is a privilege to be here at Piedmont. In the absence of your pastor, I want to say thank you for your hospitality, thank you for your friendship, thank you for allowing us to come and share with you on this wonderful Sabbath day. A couple of weeks ago, your pastor was at Allen Chapel and he preached a powerful message. No wonder you love your pastor. After the service, my members did not tell me, but they told him that he was welcome to come back anytime. We're glad to be here. Thank God for him. Thank God for Pastor Andy. He's a great, great man, man of integrity, loves the Lord, he loves ministry, and he loves this church dearly. I appreciate his friendship, and I appreciate his hospitality. My family is here with me, my wife and our three kids are back there. Could you just raise your hand? Let's just back there, praise God, they are here with us this morning. And I believe that there are some members from Allen Chapel who are here. I convinced them not to come. But it said, Pastor, we will still come and support you. And so for those of you who are here from Allen Chapel, I want to say thank you for stopping by. I know this should not be done, but I'm going to try it anyway. We had a member, a family from Allen Chapel that transferred the membership here at Piedmont Park. And the thing is that I schedule him. He was an elder there at Allen Chapel, and we schedule him to preach in December. Only to tell me later on that he had to transfer his membership here at Piedmont. I met him on the 4th of July at my house, and I told him I'm going to request from Piedmont Church that we return him back to Allen Chapel, he and his family. I know that's a difficult thing to do, but Robert Hiles and his family, we appreciate them. And if you can let me just take him back, even if it is just to preach for December and bring him back, I'll be happy to do that. Amen. If you have your Bibles, take your Bibles and turn with me into the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. And as you do that, depending on when the service ends, I will have to leave and go back to Allen Chapel because I'm scheduled to preach there as well. We are starting a new series there at Allen Chapel on the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And so I'll have to return to Allen Chapel to preach. So depending on when the service ends, I might not stay around for fellowship. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. For those of you who are able to stand, it's just a practice of mine, whenever the word of God is being read and heard, that we stand. Those of you who can stand, I want to invite you to kindly stand with me as we read and reverence the reading of the word of God. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 through verses 2. If you have it, can you say amen?
Amen.
The Bible says there in Daniel chapter 12 this, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. Verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Please be seated in the presence of God. As the Lord gives me strength this morning, I want to lift up from this passage of Scripture and use as a sermon title, Enough. Enough. Can you say that with me? Enough?
Enough.
Let's say it one more time.
Enough.
One more time again.
Enough.
Enough. Through our technological capabilities, we've been able to carve highway through the stratosphere. But yet, we have not been able to construct highway of common concern for weary travelers traveling the highway of life. Our educational system has given us some of the best and brightest minds that our world have ever seen. But yet, we are still building more prisons to rehabilitate prisoners. Our military might has made us the last surviving superpower. But yet, we were unable to stop a group of terrorists who use airplanes as instruments of death to inflict one of the worst human casualties on the soil of this great country of ours. Our scientific ingenuity has given us the cure for almost all diseases, or at minimum, has been able to put most diseases in remission. But yet, we have not been able to cure the stench of sin. We live in an unprecedented time, for we have seen political upheaval in the Arab world, the Arab Spring, and most recently in Egypt. We are witnessing moral decline, the realignment of marriage and rebranding of marriage and a redefining of marriage. We are living in a time where it is now acceptable, sinful practices and sin is acceptable in the name of tolerance. We are seeing nature rebel against humanity. We're seeing distress of nation. Stress in the workplace, stress with the workforce, stress in the bedroom, stress in the classroom, stress in the courtroom, stress in the White House, stress in the church house, and stress in our various schools as well. And I know we are proud of our American exceptionalism and optimism. But I'm sure many of you this morning will agree with me that our exceptionalism and optimism is struggling to pull us out of unemployment and foreclosure and economic uncertainties. And it is trying to pull us out of gang violence and gun violence and sex abuse and sex trafficking and child abuse and drug abuse and spousal abuse and even shootings in Colorado and Newtown. But I got good news for us. Amen. Let me try that again. I got good news for us.
Amen.
The good news is that in spite of the fact that the time seems to be dark and dreary and dreadful, the story does not end in hopeless uncertainty. For the Bible tells me in the book of Daniel, God gives Daniel a panoramic view of end time events in high definition. God tells Daniel, and as Daniel captures for us what he sees, Daniel tells the world, he tells believers, he tells Christians that at that time, when there is trouble, when there are wars, when there are rumors of war, when it seems that morality is falling apart, when it seems that there is an alignment, realignment of marriage and marriage institution, Daniel tells us at that time, Michael will stand for his people. Who is Michael? The name Michael means someone who is like God. Someone who is like God. The last time I checked my Bible, there was only one person who claimed to be God. It was Jesus. And Jesus said, if you have sinned my Father, if you have sinned me, you have sinned my Father. Why? Because I and my Father, we are one. Jesus is the only person who claims equality with God. Once upon a time when Jesus was talking one day, the religious leaders heard him say, I am. And they got upset because they discovered that Jesus was equating himself with God. And so in Daniel, when we see Michael, that Michael is nobody else than Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. It is the same Michael who stands in Revelation. The Bible says that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. It was the same Michael who defeated the devil in heaven. The same Michael who stood there with Joshua as Joshua was about to engage the battle of Jericho. And Michael stood there and Joshua said, who are you? And Michael says, I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. Daniel tells us that his Michael will stand up for his people. A few months ago, I went to Lowe's to buy a unique screw. And I got there and I knew where to find the screw. So I walked into the aisle and I began to look. I looked and I did not see the screw. I went down the aisle, looked, turned around, went back up, looked, turned around, went back down, looked, and I did not find it. But I'm getting to the point in my life that when I don't know stuff, I need to find somebody who can help me. Can you say amen? Amen. And so I decided to find somebody who works there to show me where the screw was. And I went and I found somebody. But while I was in the aisle, there was another gentleman who was looking for something, but he did not have the courage to go and ask somebody to find it for him. So I went and found somebody. I said, look, man, I'm looking for this screw. Can you tell me where I can find it? The person said, well, I don't know where to find it because I do not work in that area, but I know somebody who can find it. I said, thank you. He said, the person's name is Michael. And so Michael came and I said to him, Michael, my name is Cedric Belcher. What's your name? He said, Michael. I just wanted to hear it again. He says, my name is Michael. I said, Michael, I'm told that you can find anything. He said, well, not anything, but I can help you find a screw. So he took me to the aisle and Michael was able to find a screw for me. But watch this. As I was about to leave, the same gentleman who was in the aisle trying to find stuff, he said, Michael, come, can you help me find this screw as well? Michael, help me find the screw. There is something about Michael Jesus that Michael is able to help each and every one of us not only find the screw of life, but find our path in life. Michael is able to give us purpose for life. Michael is able to give us meaning in life. Michael is able to stand with us even if the world is falling apart. And so Daniel tells us that in that day, Michael will stand for God's people. There are three things that I want to say, and then I'll take my seat. The pastor told me not to talk too long, so I want to respect that. I'm just kidding. There are three things I want to say, and then I'll take my seat. There are three lessons I believe we can learn from this passage of Scripture. The first lesson is this, that when Michael stands up, everything stands down. Oh, you ought to say amen on that. Amen. When Michael stands up, everything stands down. The text says, the text before that talks about the gloomy picture of the world. But then in chapter 12, verse 1, it says that when Michael stands up, and when Michael stands up, anything that happens before steps down, backs down, back off. Anything that happens prior to Michael standing up stands down because Michael Jesus Christ stands up. I don't know about you, but that's good news. That's good news because anytime Michael stands up, anything in our lives, anything around us, anything inhabiting us, anything in our lives will stand down because of Michael Jesus. Amen. There was a certain church, a good church, was noted for mentoring young pastors that came from the seminary. Good church. But every now and then, they had a way of making things hard for the young pastor. And so one day, they were in board meeting, business meeting. And the pastor came out with an idea, and they went back and forth, 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 talking. And the pastor couldn't, he just stood there just looking at the church. And then, way in the back, an old lady began to walk up front. And as she began to make her way forward, there was silence in the church. She made her way forward. She stood up. She said, "It doesn't matter what our preferences are. This is our pastor. Amen. We need to follow our pastor." And as soon as she made those comments, everybody voted what the pastor said. When she stood up, everybody stood down. And that's exactly what happens when Michael stands up. When Michael stands up, everything stands down. Therefore, may I suggest to somebody this morning that don't lose hope in your life. Even if things are falling apart, if things are crumbling down, if things are falling like Humpty Dumpty, don't lose hope. It doesn't matter what the doctor may say. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope in spite of family members, friends, co-workers, siblings, spouse, don't lose hope because when Michael stands up, everything stands down. Can you say amen? Amen. The second thing this text is telling to teach us is this, that it is not if Michael stands up, but when he stands up. Let me say that again. It is not if Michael stands up, but when he stands up. I was reading this text. I was reading this text in our room. In our room, my wife and I, they call it Master's Retreat now. And I was in there reading. And as I was reading this text, I just got excited. And I began to shout in my bedroom. And I began to stomp my feet. Shouting and stomping my feet. And then I heard a knock on the door. It was our second daughter. She came, she knocked on the door. "Daddy, daddy, 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 what's going on?" She came in the room. I said, "I'm sorry." She said, "Look, we're downstairs and we're hearing you shouting. We're hearing you stomping your feet. What's going on?" I said, "Girl, I'm sorry. I'm just excited. I was reading this text in this Bible in Daniel chapter 12, and it talks about when Daniel stands up. And when I saw it and when I read it, I just got excited, girl." She said, "Okay, daddy, we're just checking to make sure you're okay." She went back downstairs, and then I went back to work. Woo! Just shouting, woo! Stomping my feet, woo! Woo! And then I heard another knock on the door. I said, "Who is it?" It was my our third child, said. He came. He said, "Daddy, what's going on? What's going on?" I said, "I'm sorry." He said, "Look, we're hearing you from downstairs. We can hear the noise. And what are you doing?" I said, "Son, I was just reading Daniel chapter 12. And it talks about when Michael stands up." And it just got me so excited. I couldn't help myself but to shout and to stomp my feet. He said, "Okay, daddy." He stood next to me and he began to watch me. And I was still going with it. Woo! Stomping my feet. And guess what? He began to imitate me. He said, "Who?" Stomp his feet. "Who?" Stomp his feet. "Who?" But here is the thing. You cannot imitate other people's experience. You got to know Jesus for yourself. And sometimes the problem with the church is that we have too many people imitating other instead of imitating Jesus Christ. When you have had an experience with Jesus, when you have had an encounter with Jesus, nobody has to tell you how to worship, why you should worship, but you will worship and serve God. Nobody has to tell you return a tithe and offering. Nobody has to tell you come to Sabbath school. Why? Because you have an experience with Jesus. But the text says this, that Michael stands up when there is trouble. He stands up in the time of trouble. What that tells me is that God is not removed from our struggles. He will be with us in our struggles. He will be there for us in our pains. He will be there for us when others turn their backs against us. Jesus, Michael, Jesus will be there for us. This is great news for us.
Amen.
That Jesus will stand with us in a time of trouble. The last thing this text is designed to teach us is this. That when Michael stands up, he brings to life everything that is dead. When Michael stands up, he brings to life everything that is dead. Look at the text there in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. The Bible says this, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. They are awakened because Michael stands. The Bible says somewhere that the dead in Christ will hear the trump of God. And they will rise up first. And those of us who are alive will be caught up in the clouds to meet our Lord and Savior. It's all predicated on the fact that Michael stands up. And when Michael stands up, anything, everything that is dead will come to life.
Amen.
Is there something dead in your life? Is your walk with God dead? Is your devotion dead? Michael can bring it to life.
Amen.
Is your marriage dead? Michael can bring it to life. Do you have some dead spots in your life? Michael can bring it to life.
Amen.
I know Michael is going to stand up in the time of trouble. I know when he stands up, everything backs down. I know it is not if, but when he stands up. I know that when he stands up, he's going to bring everything back to life. But the question I ask myself as I began to contemplate more and more on this passage of scripture is this. When Michael stands up, what will he say? What will he say? I've heard him say, it is finished. I've heard him say, come out of her and demons flee and demoniacs are set free. I've heard him say, it is done. But can I suggest to you what I want to hear him say? I like to hear him say, enough. 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 That word enough, when it's used as an interjection, it is used to express an emotional feeling about something. It is used to express finality. I want to hear Jesus say, enough.
Amen.
Enough sickness. Enough sick people. Enough hard times and hardship. Enough funerals and funeral procession. I want to hear Jesus say, enough. Enough disaster. Enough payback and revenge. I want to hear Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here who likes to hear Jesus Christ say, enough? I want to hear him say, enough, enough killing, enough violence, enough suicide, enough murders, enough, 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 enough medical bills, enough car notes, enough mortgage, enough student loans, enough. I want to hear Jesus says, enough, enough shacking up, enough committing adultery, enough fornication, enough death.
I want to hear Jesus Christ say enough. But not only that, when Michael stands up, I want my name to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. A few years ago, I was back at Andrews taking some more courses for my doctoral program. I don't know, but pastoring and leaving your family to go and do some schoolwork can become demanding. And so I couldn't wait after the class was done to head back home to Louisiana. And so we were traveling. I had three flights from South Bend, Indiana. I took the first flight. I had to connect to Chicago. And the interval between the connection from Chicago to my next flight was very short. I had to hurry up. And so I took my little backpack on and I began to run. And I finally made it to my gate. When I got to my gate, I looked around and I discovered that I did not have my cell phone. I don't know about you, but I love my cell phone. My family has a thing for me to say that other than so many other things, my phone comes number one. And so I looked around and I could not find my cell phone. And I'm saying to myself, my phone has everything that I need. All the information that I need is on my phone. And I sat there at the gate and I started scratching my head. Oh, man, I have to go and buy a new cell phone, a new iPhone. And then as I sat there contemplating what to do next, I heard on the intercom, Cedric Belcher, please come to the gate. And I said, well, maybe there's another Cedric Belcher. And so I sat. And then I heard again, Cedric Belcher, please come to the gate. I walked to the gate, to the counter. And the lady said to me, are you Cedric Belcher? I said, yes, I am. She said, do you have an ID? I said, yes, I show my ID. She said, guess what? Somebody phoned this for you. And she gave me my cell phone. Amen. And so I love to ask questions. I love to ask questions. So I said to her, ma'am, do you mind if I ask you a question? She said, oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. I said, can you help explain to me how you came in contact with my phone? She said, oh, what happened was, I guess you were leaving the bus and your phone dropped in the bus and somebody phoned the phone and brought it to us. And we took your phone and we began to look in your contact list. And when we looked in your contact list, we came into a contact information called Dad. And so we dialed the number and Dad answered the phone. And Dad was able to give your itinerary to us. And based on the itinerary that was given to us, we were able to trace you and find out where you were at the gate you were at the time you should be there. Is your name written in God's contact list? Is your name written there? On the page wide and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is your name written there? I know your name is written on your birth certificate. I know your name is written on your diploma. I know your name is written on your driver's license. I know your name is written on your marriage certificate. But is your name written there on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is your name written there? What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? Is your name written there on the page, white and fair, in the book of the kingdom? If you cannot answer affirmative to that question, then I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. If you can leave this place today without the assurance that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then I want to make sure that we fix that today before the service is over. And so before I take my seat, if you are here and you need to give your life to Jesus, I need you to stand up because I want to make sure that we fix that right now. I want to make sure that we present that request to Jesus Christ so that we can settle it once and for all. Is there somebody here who'd like to give that heart to the Lord? I see your hand back there. I see your hand back there. I see your hand. Is there someone else? I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Is there someone else? I see your hand back there. I see your hand back there. Is there someone else? Well, let me be as clear as possible. Perhaps you've never been baptized before. And you are saying, I want to give my heart to the Lord so that I can be a part of that great gathering in heaven. You've never been baptized before, and you want to do that today. Can I see your hand? Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand, Pastor Andy. Let's take a look at those who have their hands up. Finally, if you are here like me, you are saying, I have a lot of stuff in my life that I need to be able to say enough to, but I don't have the willpower to say enough. I want power from Michael Jesus so that I can be able to say enough to some of the stuff in my life. If you are like me, just raise your hand. God bless you. God bless you. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you that trouble will not last always. We thank you that there's going to come a time when Michael will stand up. But we don't have to wait to the end of time for Michael to stand up, because the Michael that we serve can stand up even right now in our circumstances, in our situation, with our problems. Father, I thank you so much that there is a way out of this world of sin. I thank you so much that, God, you have not left this world with Satan and sinful practices. I thank you, God, that you are still in control. Father, bless each and every hands that have gone up, because there are some of us who need to be able to have the backbone to say enough. Enough to some of the associations that we have in life. Enough to some of the practices that we have in our lives. Enough to some of the people who are trying to turn us away from God. Enough to this world of sin. Father, bless us and keep us ever faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Amen. Say amen again. Amen. Say amen again. Amen. Amen. Amen.